good.
Hey, man.
How are you?
All right. Good. Can we talk to you?
I need 5 minutes.
5 minutes with?
Talking.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I'm Tony, by the way.
Julian,
okay. Yeah. What can I do?
You guys asked to talk to me.
Okay. You understand you brought a woman in here carrying a child, right? No doubt in your mind about that.
Right, yeah.
Right, okay.
I'm a licensed ultrasound tech, so I know.
Okay, all right. So under what circumstances, Julian, in your mind, is it okay to take the life of a baby? Because you know it's a baby, so we're
right,
over
yeah.
all those hurdles.
Yeah, we know that.
Okay, so under what conditions is it right to do that?
No, I don't feel that was right.
Okay.
It wasn't really my decision.
Well, it was your decision to drive here.
It was.
Right? It was your decision to drive. You didn't have to make that decision. That was a choice you made.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds to me like you believe that this is wrong.
But if I didn't drive her, she was going to get a ride regardless. So, you know, let's say I didn't take her, sister would take her. She would have just been disappointed
okay.
in me.
All right, so what you just told me, I don't want to put any words in your mouth, but what you just told me is that you did this to protect you. That's what you told me. You actually
protect our relationship.
You.
Yeah.
Right.
And we also have a son right now.
Okay. I have no doubt in my mind, Julian, that you love that boy.
Mm-hmm.
How old is he?
He'll be 9 months.
9 months.
In 2 days.
Okay. Why was it okay for your son to live, but your son or daughter not to live? Why?
Different circumstances.
What? Help me out. Help me to understand your position.
Life.
Okay.
What about?
Happens.
Then we don't want to have it. Let's say if we were to go through with it.
Yeah.
They're saying there's other options, sitting up for adoption.
Sure. Yeah. All legitimate options.
Once the baby's born, you're not going to want to put it up for adoption. You're going to want to keep that baby.
And why would that be bad? Julian, why would that be bad?
Give me 1 second.
Okay, sure.
Hi, this is Julian. Okay, Sally, I'll be there in 3 minutes. Uh-huh. Okay. Huh? Bye.
So she's comfortable. She's not going anywhere. So I just ask that you give me a few minutes of your time.
Okay.
Because this could be the most important conversation you ever have.
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is this your wife or girlfriend? Or
girlfriend.
Girlfriend, okay. Mm-hmm. So in God's eyes,
mm-hmm.
all right, you and your girlfriend just committed the murder.
Right.
And the Word of God says that no murderer will enter into the kingdom of heaven. When you stand before God, Julian, and I'm not threatening you in any way, I don't want what I'm about to tell you, I don't want for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But when you stand before God, Julian, you're not going to be standing before Him to make a case. To make a case for your goodness or the goodness of your girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Because the day of judgment is not a court trial where you present evidence or evidence of your good deeds or have people come and testify to what a good person you are. It's a day of sentencing.
Mm-hmm.
Because God has already found you guilty. God found you guilty the moment you made the decision to murder your child today. The Word of God says whoever hates another person is a murderer. You've shown a great deal of love for yourself while hating your child. This is reality. You did something to your son or daughter today that you would never dream in a million years of doing to your precious 9-month-old son. All right?
Well, also at the same time,
and I'm still waiting for
I wouldn't want to bring a child into this world and not be able to, provide and give everything.
But that's an excuse of convenience, and that's pride. If I'm not going to be this baby's daddy, nobody is. That's what you're saying, Julian. And it is because we have the result to show it. It doesn't matter what you say about it, Julian. We do what we care about. And what you cared about today was not the future of that child. What you cared about today was your future.
You know, bringing that child into a corrupt world where, you know, this
you brought your nine-month-old son into a corrupt world. Does that make you evil? Does that make you an evil father?
Not at all.
Okay. Then it doesn't apply here.
Everything.
It doesn't apply here. And you're not going to be able to give your son everything. You're not. You want to. Right. He's 9 months old. But you're not going to be able to give him everything. That is a delusion. I have three daughters, 27, 25, and 20. And the moment each and every one of them were born, I committed to give them everything. And I'm a 50-year-old man of three adult daughters, young man, and I was not able to give them everything. But because I failed to give them everything as I wanted, doesn't mean that it would be right for me to kill any one of them because they couldn't receive everything from me. See, there's no way around this, Julian. Try as you might to soothe your own conscience, you've got to deal with reality. That every Father's Day, you're going to get a card from your son. And you're going to remember the day you murdered your child. See, until anything else I'm going to tell you makes sense, you've got to deal with the reality of the sin that you've committed here today. Because God doesn't negotiate with sinners. He's not going to take your excuses. He says, don't murder. He doesn't say, don't murder unless the child might have a hard life. Unless you don't have the money to give your child everything you want.
Look, wasn't there a disciple who was a murderer, I believe? Paul?
Yeah, Paul. Right. Before he came to faith in Christ.
Right.
Yeah, he was Saul of Tarsus. Yeah, he gathered Christians, murdered Christians, threw them in jail, and then he came to faith in Christ. And he eventually had his own head lopped off for sharing his faith. So no, you're not going to find any justification in God, in the disciples, in the Bible. There won't be any justification when you stand before God. That has to concern you. And if it does, okay.
I'm very familiar with the Bible.
That, Satan is too. The Bible says the demons believe and shudder, tremble. Satan knows a lot more than you and I do about the Bible. But he's not gonna spend a moment in heaven because he knows more than us, right?
Right.
Okay. By telling me that you know a lot about the Bible and that you've gone through with this speaks not to your intelligence, and I'm not saying you're stupid. You're obviously an intelligent person. But that doesn't speak to your intelligence, it speaks to your wickedness. The fact that you know what the Word of God says, but you've done this anyway. Today was a crime of convenience. It was a crime of convenience. There are so many resources out there. There are tens of thousands of parents who can't have children who would love your son and daughter as if it came out of the mother's womb. You know that. You know there's resources. But your pride says, if I can't care for this child, I'm not going to let anyone care for this child. Now, you said you've read the Bible. Do you have a church background, a religious background of some kind?
Yeah, all my aunt and uncles are ministers.
Ministers? Okay.
My mom's a minister.
So, Julian, what do you think, in light of all of this, what do you think is going to happen to you when you die?
I'm going to the kingdom of heaven.
Based on what?
Not based on today, but based on...
Based on your good deeds?
Not my good deeds.
Based on what, then?
The work of God. I spread the gospel in my time.
I
repent.
That's not going to help.
God forgives.
God does not just forgive. He is a forgiving God. There's no doubt about that. And I want to get to that with you because that's the main thing.
Right.
But you've created a God in your imagination to suit yourself. A God who's going to forgive you arbitrarily for this because you've shared the gospel before, because you've done every other things for him, and because you believe he's all loving and all forgiving. You don't believe in a just God. God's just. God can't just turn a blind eye to sin. Isaiah says that our sin is like filthy rags. Our good deeds are like filthy rags. That word filthy rags in the gospel literally means a used menstrual cloth. That's how God sees your goodness. That's how he sees mine.
Right.
He's not going to let you into heaven offering him used menstrual cloths as a gift. He's not going to let you into heaven for that. He's not going to weigh your good against the bad because, Julian, you're like me. You don't have any good in you. And it's shown today.
Have you never sinned?
No, I said, like you and me. No.
All right.
No, how old are you, Julian?
I'm 23.
Yeah. I'm 50. I'm 50. I've had twice as much time on you than you on this planet to sin.
Right.
My heart, before Christ redeemed me, my heart was as wicked, if not wicked, as yours is. No, I'm no better than you, Julian.
Right.
But at the moment, I'm better off. And it's not because of who I am. It's because of who Christ is. And it's a Christ that you don't know, Julian. It's a Christ that you don't know. It doesn't mean you never sin again. But Julian, you didn't stumble here today. You didn't stumble here today. You dove in. You drove in. You tried to drown out the sound of our voices driving out of here, blaring your stereo and whipping and whipping down. No, on the way out. On the way out.
On the way out.
Yeah. Right. We're not stupid men. We know what time it is. Right. You're not stupid, man. You know what time it is. Right. You didn't stumble into this. You went headlong into this. You wanted this. You wanted this sin so bad because you're proud. And God is opposed to the proud, but He gives grace to the humble, Julian. He gives grace to the humble. But you must come to God on His terms, because He doesn't negotiate with sinners. He doesn't negotiate with murderers any more than He negotiates with liars or thieves or adulterers. Sin brought you here. You're in a fornicating, adulterous relationship. No matter how much you say you love her, God sees you as a fornicator and an adulterer. And you've tried to...
I'm still an adulterer.
Because this woman is not your wife. This woman is not your wife in the eyes of God. And you know, that. No, well, adultery is having sex with someone who's not your wife. Jesus said if you even look at a woman to lust after her, you've already committed adultery with her in your heart. Yes. So before you got to this point, you sinned greatly against God by fornicating and by committing adultery, yet God blessed you with a child. And then you continue on in that sin. And then you heap sin upon sin by murdering the child that came out of an adulterous relationship. Why should the child be murdered for the crime of the father? How is that right? David did the same thing. David did the same thing you did. He saw a woman who wasn't his wife, and he wanted her. And he took her, and he impregnated her, and then he arranged to have her husband murdered in the heat of battle. Uriah wasn't just some foot soldier. Uriah was one of David's 37, 39 closest companions and mightiest warriors. When David called him from battle to try to get him to sleep with Bathsheba so that David could hide his sin of fornication and adultery, Uriah wouldn't do it. Uriah slept at David's door. He said, look, the other soldiers, they're not going home to have relations with their wife. Who am I? No, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to stay here by my king's door. And so David, so bent on pride and murder, wrote a note to the commanding general to put Uriah in the hottest part of battle and then draw away from him so he's sure to be killed. And he gave it to Uriah to take to the commanding general. He gave Uriah's own death warrant. And he had him murdered. And God confronted him on that through the prophet Nathan. And David's response was not, I want to give this baby everything I can. Yeah, I know that what's wrong, but I know you're a forgiving God. He said, against you and you alone have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, and you are right to judge. That's repentance. Repentance isn't taking God's grace for granted. Repentance is you don't deserve it. Understand, you don't deserve it. So you haven't repented. You have worldly sorrow. You feel a little bit of guilt because you know this is wrong in God's eyes. But you figure that God's just going to forgive you, that God's going to clean up the mess by letting you into heaven. He's holy, Julian. He's holy. Sin can't be in His presence. You have a problem. The same problem I had when I was 23 years old. I thought I was good enough for God, even though I had murder in my heart.
No, I don't
even
know
though,
good enough.
Well, okay, all right.
That's the only part I disagree. I agree with everything else.
Okay. You have to come to true repentance and faith in Christ. God can't forgive what happened here. This is not beyond God's ability to give. And I want you to receive that forgiveness. I want your girlfriend to receive that forgiveness. You helped your girlfriend to put herself in a category now where she has a 60% higher chance to develop breast cancer. You helped put your girlfriend in a position now where she has an astronomically higher chance of taking her own life because of what she's done. The problems, Julian, haven't gone away today. You've exasperated them. And you can't clean it up. But God can. Mm-hmm. But you must come to Him on His terms, Julian.
I'm beginning to hear you too.
Think about it. All right? Okay. Will you pray?
Yeah. Hey, Father, Lord, we pray for that young man, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would open his eyes and his heart to the truth, that he would see his need for your mercy, that he would, I doubt there's time for him to save his child now under the hands of murder, Lord, but we pray, Lord, that this would be used by you to reveal yourself, to demonstrate to them the need for your mercy and forgiveness, Lord, and that they would become desperate for Christ, Lord, that they would come desperate for the cross that brings about forgiveness and peace with you, Lord. We do pray, Lord, that they would have peace, but only by your mercy. And we pray, Lord, for no peace for them until they do come for your mercy, Lord. And we know, Lord, that your mercy is great and that it is available to those that repent and believe. And that's what we pray, Lord, for this couple, Lord, that they would repent of the sin of murder, the sin of their lives, the sin of their adultery, the sins that offend you, Lord, and that they would turn from that sin and cling to the cross and cling to the Savior, Lord, that they would be forgiven of all their sins and that they would become your child, surrendered to the truth and a servant of their Creator. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy in our own lives, and we ask you, Lord, that it would compel us to continue to express the truth of the gospel to those that would repent and believe, and that the whole world would stand guilty before you, Lord, because of your law that reveals the truth of where they stand with you. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be in your service, and that we would be vessels of the gospel. And we thank you, Lord, for forgiveness of our sins.
Yes,
in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Amen.